We'll start our teaching. All right. We have begun a series a number of weeks ago on the foundations of the faith. We've been working our way through and seeing that, we've said it many times over, we're born-again Christians.
Amen.
I mean, the first foundation, the first pillar of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the pillar upon which we enter the temple. Jesus Christ has given the strength and established the very religion, if you will, the relationship that we have with God is through Jesus Christ. And thankfully, the other pillar that we enter in through is the Holy Bible, the authorized version of the King James Bible. For me, that's it. I mean, our statement of faith is right there. We believe Jesus is the Christ, the King James is the Bible. But once you get in the temple, there are some precious articles in there, some precious gemstones, foundational gemstones that the Lord has set up. And we've been looking at them the last few weeks. We saw, for example, I think in the first week, we looked at the redemption through His blood. That's one of the important things that we always look upon when we're worshiping the Lord. We go back and hearken to the fact that He redeemed us by His blood, that He shed His precious blood for us. We also looked at the fact that the regeneration, how new life was placed into us by His Spirit. We were dead in trespasses and sins until we opened our heart to Jesus Christ, invited Him in, and He gave us the new birth. He promised. He said, I will give you another comforter, and the regeneration of our spirit. And then we saw last week the resurrection of the body is a promise that we all have going forward in the future. Yes, the redemption of the blood at Calvary, the regeneration of the spirit for the here and now, but the resurrection of the body is what we look forward to. The exciting fact that this isn't the end for us. These bodies, it just makes it so easy for me as a doctor because I don't worry so much about the body anymore because I'm going to get a new one. It's wonderful. Okay, my knee's not all that good. My back isn't all that good. My eyesight is failing. So what? I'm going to have a resurrected, new, glorious body.
Amen.
The great physician is going to take care of all my ailments at the resurrection. So we saw the first three. Now today, we're coming to the fourth foundation of the faith. Thank you. And turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And look in verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith has a couple components to it. There's a scientific component, substantial. There's a legal component to it, evidence. And these two things together are what our faith is made up upon. The substance of our faith is the body and the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did. And the evidence of our faith is what you're holding in your hand. It's the Holy Bible. And that's the evidence of things not seen. I've never seen Jesus Christ personally. I wasn't there in Jerusalem at the time that He gave His life and His soul and His blood and everything that was in Him as He poured out for redeeming me personally and you personally if you've received Him as Savior. How do I know about these things? Because I have the evidence right here in the Scriptures. What a blessing that God's given us something we can lay our hands on. Skipping down to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The relationship that anyone will have with the Creator God is going to be a relationship based on faith. It's not going to be based on sight. It's going to be based on faith and the things that are written in the Word of God, and faith cometh by hearing. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. There are legions of people trying to please God, and unfortunately, they're not doing it by faith, and they're not pleasing Him. And then he says this, without faith, it's impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You'll learn that in the Bible. And then watch the second thing. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now this much we know from the Scriptures. None of us seek after God by the natural man. God seeks after us. When we open the door of our heart and receive Jesus Christ and get the new birth, from that point forward, we do seek after God. It is the new spirit in us. It's the new man. It's the new creature that seeks God. And here's what God says about those new creatures. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not just seek Him, but diligently seek Him. One of the foundations we're going to learn in the scriptures, one of the key foundations of the faith, is the reward of the saints. The Lord God in heaven has rewards that he wants to give to his saints. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you become born again, the truth is you don't know the half of what you're in for, and it's good. And part of it is rewards. Turn back to Colossians. Go back a few books to Colossians chapter 3. Today I want to look at the mode of the reward, the means of our attainment of the reward, and the manner of the rewards, because this is one of the great foundations of the faith. Turn back to Colossians chapter 3. Small book. There's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And look at the third chapter and notice what he says in, let's say, verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now notice there's a reward. There's a reward of the inheritance. And the reward of the inheritance is connected with service. For ye serve the Lord Christ. There are two parts of the inheritance you get. One is an inheritance you get just as being a child of God. For being a child of God, you get the inheritance of getting to live in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. That's your earth, that's your heavenly inheritance, reserved in heaven for you that fadeth not away. But there is a reward for service that we get. And I want to show you this reward. It's promised by the Lord himself. Turn back to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures today. I want to show you one of the great things that the Lord wants to do to his children, do for his children someday, is to reward them for their service on his behalf and in his name. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. He was just explaining to his disciples that he as the Christ must go and die in Jerusalem. Verse 21. It's the first time he ever told them about the death, burial, and resurrection of the first coming. And I think they were disheartened. This can't be happening. How can the Messiah die? And he said, look, that's only a small pittance compared to what I'm going to do for all of eternity. That's going to be a 3.5-day stint where I'm going to do some very important work. But based upon that work, we're going to go forward in eternity. And I'm going to come back one day. The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels at the second coming. And watch what he'll do. Verse 27. And then he shall reward every man according to his works. The reward of the saints is something that was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ. He promised it here to the men in Caesarea Philippi as they were way out there talking about what is he going to do. And he only told his disciples these things. The innermost truths of the Bible God gives to his children. He doesn't give it to scorners and to mockers and to rejectors. The Lord spoke in parables so that those who did not understand would not be able to understand. And those that desire to understand, he would give a meaning to. So he explains here, I'm going to come back one day in my Father's glory with holy angels, and I'm going to reward men according to works. The saints. Revelation chapter 22. Turn to the last chapter of the Bible. If you have a red letter edition, look at the 12th verse, Jesus speaking. And behold, Revelation 22:12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The Lord Jesus Christ says when he comes back to set up his kingdom upon planet Earth, to set up the kingdom of heaven on Earth, that he's bringing rewards, and he's going to come quickly. The second coming will happen as lightning flashes from the east to the west. It'll happen very quickly when the Father says, Son, it is time. Go. Fetch your church and set up your kingdom. And it will happen very quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. This is something promised by the Lord. And it was even confirmed by the prophets in the scriptures going all the way back to the Psalms. Turn back to Psalm 18. So the study we're going to do on the reward of the saints is something that is confirmed in the scriptures. This entire study will be done by the word of the Lord. I will speak to you by the word of the Lord. Let that comfort your hearts. Psalm 18. This is one of the great psalms in the Bible. It's a very long psalm. It's entirely repeated in 2 Samuel 22. If you ever read the book of 2 Samuel, you read the 22nd chapter, it's Psalm 18. God puts it in the Bible twice, because he doesn't want us to miss some of the important teachings here. And here's what he says about David's just praising the Lord. I will love thee, O Lord. Verse 1. O my strength, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who's worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He's just praising God, talking about the great salvation. Verse 17, he skips down. He says, he delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Skipping down to verse 20, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. Anyone who comes by faith, the Lord rewards those that come by faith. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, after I got saved, I continued to stay in the ways of the Lord. I did not wickedly depart from my God. I continued to serve him, and he rewarded me, verse 20, according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. There is the righteousness that is conferred upon you by Jesus Christ at salvation, and that righteousness gives you a place in heaven. There's a righteousness that you get to weave into that coat by the service and work you do in the ways of the Lord, to embellish that coat, to put things upon that coat, or if you don't serve the Lord, you dirty that coat, drag it through the mud, and get a mess on that coat, in which case the Lord's going to have to clean it when he meets you. But if you keep that coat spotless and clean, and you embellish it by serving him, you get a reward, David says right here. Turn to Psalm 58. Psalm 58. David is speaking about men that work wickedness, and he's frustrated as he sees wickedness working all around him. And he winds up the psalm at the end saying, you know, verse 10, the righteous shall rejoice. When he seeth the vengeance, he shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. There's a day talking about when it's all wound up, when the battle of Armageddon comes, and finally God puts down rebellion once and for all, and Jesus comes back and sets up his kingdom, we're actually going to be thankful. We're going to be thankful that the sin and the wickedness is put away, and we can finally live here in a world where righteousness reigns and Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. And then he says in verse 11, and when that happens, so that a man shall say, verily, there's a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. And what you're going to learn here is the rewards that you and I are going to get, the rewards of the service, the reward of the inheritance based upon service, are going to be earthly rewards in the millennial kingdom. The heavenly reward is set the moment you become a child of God. That's reserved in heaven that fadeth not away. But the ones down here on earth, these are the ones where you can earn rewards during the millennial kingdom. This is confirmed, promised by the Lord. When I come back, when he comes back, he's setting up his kingdom. Then his reward is with him for the millennial kingdom. There is a man shall say, there's a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth in the earth. The judgment and rewards are going to be in the earth. That's where they're going to be. Now, let me show you a few things about this. Let me show you the mode of how it will happen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. First, we'll look at the mode. Number one, we'll look at the mode of the reward. 2 Corinthians 5. Great chapter. A lot of famous verses in this fifth chapter. If you ever read this fifth chapter, you will find yourself saying, I heard that verse. I've heard that verse. This fifth chapter is loaded with famous verses. But let's take a look specifically at verses 9 and 10. Talking about we are confident in our salvation in the Lord. He's given us the earnest of the Spirit, verse 5. Verse 9, so wherefore we labor, now that we're new creatures, created unto good works, regenerated in the Spirit. We labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. You know, when you and I go out from this place today, we are absent from the Lord in that He's in heaven, we're here on planet Earth. We're in a mortal body, we're still waiting to meet Him. When we die, we get to be present with Him. But even when we're absent from Him today, the things we do are either acceptable or unacceptable to Him. I'm not going to mention some unacceptable things, but you full well know you could walk out of this building and do some things that are very unacceptable in the Lord's eyes. And you also know you could do some things acceptable in His eyes. For example, what you're doing right now on this Sunday morning is acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. We're gathered together to worship to Him. Worship Him. We're gathered together to pray to Him. We gather together, we sing praises unto Him. We're gathered together to hear from Him in His Word. This is acceptable unto the Lord. We could be doing something else on a Sunday morning that's not acceptable to Him. Whether absent or present, we want to know if we're accepted and doing things acceptable to Him. Watch this, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now he's talking about people who've received the earnest of the Spirit, verse 5. All born-again Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Lost people will not come to that judgment. The judgment seat of Christ, we're going to find out, occurs after the rapture. The white throne judgment occurs 1,007 years later. We've studied this in the book of Revelation. The lost people go to the white throne judgment. The saved people go to the judgment seat of Christ. Two different judgments. We must all, verse 5, those who are saved, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Why? Rest of verse 10. That everyone who's been washed by the blood and has the Spirit may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. From the moment you're saved and the Holy Spirit begins to reside in your body, you either do good things in the Lord or you do bad things with your body. Again, you can imagine some bad things you could do with your body that the Lord would not be pleased with. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ is going to be based upon what we've done in this regenerated soul that's walking around in this mortal body, what we've done from the moment of salvation to the moment we are taken out of this mortal body. And that's what the judgment seat of Christ is for. And so the mode that he's going to use, he's going to use the judgment seat of Christ, not the white throne judgment. The judgment seat of Christ. Now, a little more is told about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was talking to a church that was babies. Verse 1, brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I mean, you guys just don't have an understanding of what God's going to do in your life. I mean, you're still walking around like a bunch of baby Christians, like a baby walks around and doesn't have command of the language. Like a baby doesn't have good understanding. And he's saying, I don't want you to remain babies. I want you to grow up in the Lord. He says, now look, you're so busy as babies looking at me and looking at Apollos and looking at all these people. He says, when it comes to me and Apollos, verse 5, one saith, I'm of Paul. Another saith, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? I mean, you get your eyes in the wrong place. Your eyes should be on Jesus Christ. Verse 6, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It's God that's doing the work down here. Verse 7, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. When it comes to the new birth, God's involved in this. God is the only one that's certified. He's the only certified obstetrician in the universe to bring forth a new birth. Apollos can't do it, and Paul can't do it. Verse 8, now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. I mean, it's really, in God's eyes, it's no different whether you're planting seed or whether you're watering seed that's already been planted by someone else. You're equal. You're one. You're on the same level. Your level's a one, number one. That's as high as it goes. God's going to give the increase, but notice this, verse 8, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Here's the reward of the inheritance based on service, based on labor. Now, he'll talk more about it as we go through this chapter, verse 9. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Paul says, I came to Corinth, and I told you about Jesus Christ. I laid the foundation. Apollos came after me, and he watered. He worked on the foundation. He built upon the foundation that I laid. The first thing I did when I came to the city of Corinth is all I wanted you to know was Christ Jesus and Him crucified. That's what I came to tell people. That was the message, the gospel of God, the power of God unto salvation. That's what I came. He tells you this, verse 10. According to the grace of God given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another, Apollos, buildeth thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. We'll talk about that in a second. But key 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. I mean, you want to lay a foundation in anyone's life, you want to talk about Jesus Christ. That's what you want to do. The foundational work is Jesus Christ. Now he says, now once Jesus Christ, you've been giving Jesus Christ to someone, let's say they open their heart and they receive Jesus Christ. Now what you want to do is, verse 12, now it's time to build upon the foundation. And if any man build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, now how am I going to build upon it? Well, here's six things mentioned in the verse. Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. When building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, first and foremost, let's look at the building of our own lives. The first thing the Bible always wants you to do is look to yourself. Don't look at motes and beams in someone else's eye. Look at yourself. The Bible wants you to come now as a born-again Christian and to read the Scriptures and to come to church and to hearken to Bible teaching as to how God can begin to build your life. So now you're building your life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. How are you building it? Are you building it with gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble? Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, which day? That's the day, chapter 1, verse 8. Go back to chapter 1, verse 8. In verse 7, we've been saved and we're waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 8, who shall also confirm you to the end that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes quickly and he has his rewards, we want to be blameless in his sight. And on that particular day, everything that we've done in our Christian life will be made manifest so people can see. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest for the day when Jesus Christ shall declare it. Why? Because he comes back, he's light. He's going to bring light on the topic. It shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So let's say I got saved. The foundation of Christ has been laid in my heart. And now, from this day forward, how do I build upon that foundation? Do I spend time fellowshipping with saints, or do I continue to run with my old friends? Do I spend my Sundays worshiping the Lord, or do I continue to go to football games and ignore the Lord and go to golf and do other things that I used to do? What kind of things am I doing building upon the foundation of Christ? Am I doing worship, fellowship, gold, silver, precious stones, prayer? Or am I going out and playing golf and doing the other things? Wood, hay, stubble. I'm building upon that foundation. An edifice is being built. A structure is being built in my heart. When Christ comes back, he reveals it. He tries it by fire. What does fire do to gold, silver, precious stones? When the fire stops, they're still there. You take this gold ring of mine, very small, put it down. Blow some fire. The fire is removed. It's still there. You take this wood tree. You blow a fire on it. When it's over, there's ashes. There's nothing left. And the day will, verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, well, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work be burned, he shall suffer loss. Oh, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The Lord says, I have rewards. I want to give rewards. But how are my children building themselves up in the faith from the time the foundation has been laid? Are they building themselves up with gold, silver, precious stones? Or are they doing the wood, hay, and stubble of the old ways, which could be very big and look important and impressive? I'm continuing to go out in the financial world and I'm making all kinds of money. People say, wow, what a portfolio he has. That's very impressive. That's so big. Wood, hay, and stubble. Nothing there. You didn't build properly on the foundation. The reward comes from properly building. That's why you must take heed. Verse 10. Let every man, verse 10, end of the verse, take heed how he buildeth thereupon. You see, the mode it's going to be done is when the Lord comes back at the rapture, when we are gathered together unto him in the clouds, before he brings us back to his Father in heaven, the judgment seat of Christ occurs somewhere up there in the starry realms before we get to go to heaven. And now he's got the rewards with him and he wants to start setting up. Now let me show you. We've seen the mode and the mechanism by how he's going to do it at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's look at our means of attaining some good reward. That's his mode. Here's our means. We want to be like David, rewarded according to the righteousness and the cleanness of my hands. What are the means we can use? Let's go back to the Psalms. David's got a good way in Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, picking it up in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's the Bible. These are many words he'll use for the Bible and the Word of God. And the Bible is what God uses to convert your soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. That again is the Bible. You can be sure of it. Makes wise the simple. After you get saved and your soul's converted, you need some Bible to get some wisdom, some proper spiritual wisdom. You're not going to get it anywhere else. Don't watch the History Channel. You need to read the Bible. Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You spend time in the Word of God, it'll rejoice your heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You spend time in the Bible, your eyes will be enlightened so you see the needs out there, the spiritual needs as you walk through this world. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. This again is the Bible, enduring forever. You can count on that book. It's been around since God put it down here. It's still around today. I see you reading it, holding it in your hands. And it'll be around forever, forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven, and you'll see it on planet Earth when Jesus comes, and it's here now. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Should be sweet to your spiritual taste. Look at verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Great reward. One of the first ways that you can get obtain a reward that's gold, fine gold, is Bible reading. Bible reading, right there. You spend time in the Word of God, and God says, you know, you spend time in my Word, there's great reward. That's one of the ways to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been laid in your heart, and now you need to layer precept upon precept, line upon line, a finely meted out golden brick and a golden block here as you're building up the edifice of your frame, jointly fit together, compacted together by the teachings and the precepts and the testimonies and the law and of the Word of God. That's one good way to get a sure reward. Bible reading. Why? That's where you're going to learn the truths about God. The real God. The Creator God. The Redeemer God. Sustainer God. The God that's going to come back and consummate everything and start a new heaven and new earth. Where are you going to learn this apart from the Bible? God says, you do that, great reward. Great reward. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let me show you another way. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. Another way to get reward. Matthew chapter 6. Teaching him on prayer. First he told him, don't pray as hypocrites. Then in the sixth verse he says, but thou, my disciples, my children, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Bible reading and prayer. A relationship. The Bible reading, God is speaking to you. The prayer, you're relating back to the Lord. That's what relationship is about. And the Lord is a person who desires a personal relationship with us. And as we maintain and keep that personal relationship and draw closer and closer, He can't help but reward us. Look, if there's a major corporation, and the man that owns the corporation, someone becomes a close relationship to him, spends time talking to him, spends time listening to him, draws close to him, works his way up in the company closer to him in a closer relationship, that man can't help but reward that man. Stock options, bonuses, the various ways. You think God's going to allow himself to be outdone by some mere mortal? God works the same way. When you spend time in prayer, you are literally putting silver upon that foundation and building up the reward that Jesus can give you in the day he comes back. Spiritual rewards. Let me show you another one. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul's talking about his ministry as a preacher of the Word of God, as a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are questioning him. Why are you running around talking about Jesus Christ all the time? And he says, first, I love Jesus. And then he also says in verse 16, 9:16, for though I preach the gospel, I really have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I mean, it's such an important message. How can I not preach it? I mean, souls, eternity, depend on it. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. He says, you know, when I go out and I preach the gospel, when I evangelize, look at the word angels in there. You want to be an angel to someone? Tell them the good news of the evangelism of Jesus Christ. When I go out and evangelize, when I do this willingly, I have a reward. Not when someone forces me to do it or makes me do it, but when I do it willingly because I love these people, I love their souls, I love the Lord, the love of Christ is constraining me. When I go out and do this willingly, I have a reward. Now let me show you something. When I looked at this, you remember we're studying the Ten Commandments? Here's all Ten Commandments. Bible reading and prayer is your spiritual connection to God. There's commandments 1-4. Evangelizing is what you do for the people around you. There's commandments 5-10. That's your social relationship to the other people out there. Instead of stealing from them, instead of lying to them, instead of bearing false witness to them, instead of adulterizing with them, he says, you know, you go out and evangelize to them. And in terms of God, instead of bowing down to idols, instead of taking his name in vain, you read his Bible, you pray to him, you're fulfilling everything that God would have you to do. You're building gold and silver and precious stones in your life upon the foundation of Jesus Christ that's been laid down. Evangelizing is so important. Look at this in Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs 11. I love this verse. I got this one underlined. Proverbs 11, verse 18. Okay, the wicked worketh a deceitful work. Now watch the second half of the verse. But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Mm-hmm. To him that soweth righteousness. Jesus Christ said, behold, I tell you a parable. A sower went forth to sow seed. And the seed is the word of God. To him that soweth righteousness, there shall be a sure reward. How easy it is to sow gospel seed in the era we live in with gospel tracts. What's it good for? A sure reward. A sure reward. Last night I was writing a couple letters. And I put the letters in the envelope, but I didn't seal the envelope. Reached in my one drawer where I keep my gospel tracts. And I put tracts in there. And I put P.S. Please read this. It'll be a blessing to you. And then I sealed it. And then I prayed. A sure reward. Evangelizing. Sowing righteousness. So simple. The rewards are means of attainment of the rewards. Now, the manner of the rewards, I don't know if I'm going to have time to go through them. I'll give them to you very, very quickly. You can study them on your own. They come in three different ways. The manner of rewards. Let me get my pen here. The first way it comes is in crowns. Crowns. If you want to go real quick, turn to 1 Corinthians 9. We'll go very quickly through these. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and he sets up his kingdom, he will be King of Kings. And he will rule and reign on this earth. And no longer will there be politicians being elected, and no longer will there be wicked leaders like Stalin and the guy with the beard in Cuba, what's his name again? Castro, and folks like this. There's going to be Jesus Christ setting his kings up. And he's going to put crowns upon them as he sets up his kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven on planet Earth, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 25, every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. They that are trying to win something do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. There's the incorruptible crown of 1 Corinthians 9:25. In our striving to learn all we can and master what we're learning here in the scriptures and doing this, we're going to get an incorruptible crown. That's the first crown. The second crown, go a little bit to the right. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. These are various crowns we get. Here's one for just keeping our body under control is the incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, or 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, Paul had just preached to the people in Thessalonica, had won a lot of people to the Lord, and he said in verse 19, what is our hope when Jesus Christ comes back, or our joy at the judgment seat when he comes back, or crown of rejoicing, are not ye, even in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming, ye are glory and our joy. We get a crown of rejoicing for people we win to the Lord. That's a second crown that's given. That's the soul winner's crown. A couple books to the right, 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7, Paul's at the end of his life. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day when he comes back with rewards. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. There's the crown of righteousness to those that love the appearing of the Lord. Now, there's an implication. Then think about this. If you really live that the Lord could appear at any moment, then any moment he comes back, he'll find you doing something that he would be pleased with and that would be accepted of him. I mean, you wouldn't want to be in the midst of an R-rated movie and then you hear the trumpet sound and say, Not now, Lord, give me 2 hours till this finishes. I don't want you catching me in this movie theater. You wouldn't want to be on the internet looking at something you shouldn't be looking at and saying, not now, Lord. What you'd like to be doing is something that would be pleasing and accepted of him. Those are the ones that love is appearing. And that's the crown that comes to those that live after that manner. Keep going. Go to James. A couple books to the right. James chapter 1. I'll show you the crowns. The five crowns. James chapter 1. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There are times you and I go through trials and temptations in our life, and what do we do when we're in them? Do we yield and submit? Or do we stay close to the Lord and take the escape route that he's provided and give and use his strength to bear up under the temptation and endure? If we do that, we get a crown of life. That's another crown that's given. James 1:12. And the last one, 1 Peter, next book to the right, chapter 5. And talking about how you teach others about the Lord, whether it be your children or your spouse or a Sunday school class, verse 3, never be a lord over God's heritage. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but be in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This is the shepherd's crown. And it's not just for pastors, it's for anyone that helps shepherd anyone in his relationship with the Lord. For parents, it's usually for the children. For Sunday school teachers, it's for the children. For women, it might be for younger women. For men, it could be a younger disciple you have. And these are the various crowns, the five crowns that are given. Let me give you another reward that Jesus is going to give. Turn to Luke chapter 12. Quickly. Not only crowns will be given. Jesus says this in Luke chapter 12. Or Luke chapter 19, I apologize. Verse 12. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. When he's ready to bring the kingdom of God back, verse 12, he says, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom. He's in heaven. And to return, the second coming. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said, occupy till I come. Verse 15, and when it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded the servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading, the money, the gold, the silver, of the gospel. Verse 16, then came forth the first, saying, Lord, excuse me, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. He said, likewise to him be thou over 5 cities. He's going to set up his kingdom. You're going to have crowns and you're going to have authorities over cities. Right now we're the refuse and the offscouring of the earth. And we have no say over anything. And that's okay. We're subject to every ordinance of man. And all we do is preach the gospel. But when the Lord inverts the whole thing, we're going to be priests and kings unto him throughout the whole world. What a blessing. And cities come. Now, I want to show you one last thing. Go back to where we were in 1 Corinthians 3, and I want to show you something good about this. Something that will encourage you. Very encouraging. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and watch the 8th verse very carefully. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own success. According to the numbers of people he wins to the Lord. According to the size of the ministry he develops. According to the reputation he gains in Christianity around the world. What is the word? What's that little word at the end of the verse?
His own labor.
His own labor. Mm-hmm. The rewards are only based on your labor. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something honestly. I've been in 12 years since I received the Lord as my Savior. I've passed out a lot of tracts. I've talked to a lot of people. And I've seen few people get on their knees and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I remember one time there was a girl at the hospital that was sick. And I knew she was not only sick physically, she was emotionally depressed and she needed Jesus Christ. And I gathered a couple books for her that I thought would be a blessing. When I went to the hospital that day, she was gone. She had been discharged. And so then I found out where she lived, and I went one day to go to her house, and she wasn't there. I did this like 4 days in a row. I wasted hours over weeks trying to reach this girl. And I thought, boy, how worthless. Do you know what? I was gaining a reward for just the very effort and the labor I was going into, according to that verse. It's not to my success. It's not credited based upon what I did in terms of winning someone. It was I was laboring on behalf of her soul. When you read that Bible, that's labor. When you pray, that's labor. When you evangelize, whether you're successful in winning someone to the Lord or not, that's labor, and that's how the rewards come. That ought to encourage you. That ought to encourage you. Just the labor. God says, I saw you try. I saw you pray. I saw the effort you made. Here's a crown. Here's a city. Well done. Well done. But I want to show you the greatest reward of all, one that we often miss out on, and it's found back in Genesis 15. Because after all, if you believe Jesus is the Christ, you're like Father Abraham. You're a man of faith. Remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And you come to the Lord by faith. And here's what Abraham got for his faith. And here's what God would like to give you for his faith, for your faith. Genesis 15, verse 1. The greatest reward of all. Better than crowns, better than cities. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. The greatest reward? Christ. Christ. I do this teaching not to get your eyes on rewards, not to get your eyes on crowns, not to get your eyes on cities, but to remind you to keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And if you do that, all the rest will fall into place like dominoes. And you will get rewards. And you will get crowns. And you will get cities. And you'll hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because Jesus Christ is thy exceeding great reward. Go to Revelation chapter 3. You know, the age we live in, folks, is the age of the Laodicean church. So notice what Jesus says to the Laodicean church. He knows that we live in rough times. He knows that television and radio and movies have perverted us. And so he says this, verse 20. Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And to him that overcometh, you continue to build on that foundation, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. The greatest reward is to sit with Jesus Christ. Kids want to sit on Santa Claus' lap? Someday you're going to sit in the throne with Jesus Christ. If you just keep your eyes on Jesus. One of the great foundations of the faith is the reward of the saints. You notice when they were laying those six things out, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Do you notice what came first? The gold, silver, and precious stones. Do you know why? God wants to give good things to his children. That's his desire. What a blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for revealing in your word this great foundation of the faith, the reward of the saints. Help us, Lord, to stay close to Thee in Bible reading and prayer and to keep our eyes upon Your Son, Jesus. And then, Lord, to tell others about Him. And thank You. We're not worthy of rewards, but thank You that You're so loving. You're so gracious. You're so good that You're laying up rewards for us in heaven and rewards during the millennium on planet Earth. We thank You and give praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.